It was David who said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It was David also who said, "Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb is your word." And David also wrote, "Oh, how I love your commandments." Father, we thank you that you have given us a word from you, and that it truly is a light and a lamp for us. And we thank you for the fact that you have spoken and that you have preserved your word for us so that we can read it and study it and meditate upon it. And today, as we focus upon Scripture, we pray that you will bless us as we speak and as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by underscoring the fact that we do need to read Scripture. And if we should ask ourselves, why should we read Scripture, I want to give three reasons. And the first is, we should read Scripture because of what it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul laid out his view of Scripture. And it wasn't just a personal view, it was an inspired view. He was guided in what he wrote by the Spirit of God. And in this important passage, he said, 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Now, when Paul talks about the wisdom of God, he is talking about the purpose and the plan of God. And he said, "We speak this plan of God in a mystery." A mystery is something that is covered until it is revealed. And when it is revealed, it is uncovered, and it's no longer a mystery. And for ages past, God had his purpose and plan in his mind, but no one knew anything about it. Neither man nor angel knew what the purpose of God was, because it was covered, it was hidden. Therefore, it was a mystery. But then, as God began to make his plan known, he uncovered it and he revealed it. And it no longer was a mystery. It became a revelation. So Paul said, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was for our glory." Don't you just love that statement? God has had a plan in his mind since before the world was, before creation. And that plan and that purpose was for you. He had you in mind. It was for our glory, Paul said. He goes on to say, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." Now, sometimes that passage is used to refer to heaven, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. Heaven is yet to be revealed, all right, and we cannot imagine the glories of heaven. But here, in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul is here talking about Scripture. Eye hasn't seen it, that is, no man discovered it on his own. He said, ear hasn't heard it. One man didn't tell it to another, until God revealed it. He said it hasn't even entered the heart of man. Man didn't even imagine what God was up to. But then notice verse 10. He said, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Have you considered the fact that we wouldn't know anything at all about who we really are, why we are, what our purpose is, what our destiny is, or our predicament in the sight of God, had God not revealed it? And God has revealed it. In verse 13, Paul said, which things also we speak, not in the words that man's wisdom teaches, but in the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. Now that's what inspiration is. God speaking through men, men who are guided by His Spirit. Notice, Paul said, we speak the words that the Holy Spirit teaches. God has revealed His purpose and plan unto us. Now, it is a revelation from God. Now, let me ask a question here. Who is the most highly regarded person in your life? You got that person in mind? Who is the one that you respect the most? Who is it that you love the most? You have that person? Now suppose that you went to your mailbox and you had a letter from that person. What would you do with it? Well, I'm not sure what you might do with it, but I know what you wouldn't do with it. You would not discard it. You wouldn't just throw it away. You wouldn't take it in your house and throw it on the table and say, I'll read that sometime when I get around to it. No, I really do know what you would do. You would immediately open the letter because you'd want to listen to what the person had to say, wouldn't you? And that in reality is what Scripture is. It is God, the one that we should regard the highest of all, God who has spoken to us. We should study the Scripture because of what it is. It is a revelation. It is a letter from God. The second reason we should study Scripture is because of what it does. The Scripture is powerful beyond our full understanding. In Romans 1:16, Paul said of the gospel, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, the word of God, which is able to save your souls. The word is powerful to save. That's what it does. The word builds us up spiritually. In Acts 20, verse 32, Paul said, I commend you unto God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The word of God gives us hope. Romans 15, verse 4 says that. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, has Paul saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Now, in the context of 2 Timothy 3, Paul had primarily in mind in that text the Old Testament Scriptures. But since Peter referred to Paul's writings as Scripture, it would include the New Testament as well. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. It tells you what is right. For reproof, it tells you when you're not right. For correction, it tells you how to get right. For instruction that leads to righteousness, it tells you how to stay right. And then Paul said that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We should study the scripture because of what it is. And third, we should study the scripture because when we read scripture, we are hearing the voice of God. 750 years before Jesus came, Isaiah the prophet opened his book by saying, "Hear, O heaven, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." In Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 of the New Testament, the Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." God has spoken, and Scripture is the voice of God. No wonder the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 25 says, "Refuse not him who speaks." We should read Scripture. Now, in the second place, we should read Scripture respectfully. And here I want us to look at our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said to the young preacher, Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words." We should read the Word of God as sound words. And the word sound means healthy, health-giving words. And only the words from God can give us spiritual health. And notice that Paul said, hold fast to those sound words. That is, cling to them. Don't ever depart from them. And note also he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Now, the word pattern is a form. It is a guide. It is an example. It is an outline. And the Word of God is a pattern for us. Now, I just want to pause there long enough to make this observation. If a religious teacher says to you, "God has no patterns for us," then I would advise you not to pay any attention to anything else that person says. Because, first of all, it is totally false to make that kind of statement. How can I hold to the pattern of sound words if God doesn't have any patterns? The fact of the matter is that in the postmodern world, man wants to be independent of God and do his own thing. He wants to serve God, but he wants to serve God in his own way. And therefore, he wants to reach the conclusion that when God sets forth a pattern, a mold, a form for us, that we can take it or leave it. And I'm just here to say that God does have patterns. He has a pattern for how you become a Christian. He has a pattern for the church, how we should worship and how we should do our work, as to who we are as the people of God. I was in a meeting in East Texas a few years ago, and I'd spoken at the Bible class hour about what we should be. And what I meant by that was what we should be as the church. And I was trying to lay down some characteristics of who the people of God are. And between the Bible class and worship, a young man came up to me and said, "You're one of them there patternists, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean by patternist?" And then I can tell you whether I'm one of them there ones. He said, well, you think that God has a pattern for everything. I said, I'm a patternist. Hold to the pattern of sound words, helpful words, words that come from God. So the first thing is, in respecting the word and reading it respectfully, I need to look at it as the sound words from God and then cling to the form or the pattern of sound words. And notice that Paul says, which you have heard from me. What the apostles preached is what we're to preach. In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, that's the attitude of those who speak and hold to sound words. We have faith in those words, and we, like David, love those words. And we learn that in Christ. So, read the Word of God respectfully as sound words. And then, second, we respect God's Word when we look at it as a trust from God. And notice what Paul says in verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The good thing was the sound word that he had just mentioned in verse 13. And he says, God has deposited something with you. He has committed something into your hands. And that something is the word of the living God. God trusts us. Back in verse 8 of this chapter, Paul said to Timothy, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And in verse 12, he said, I'm not ashamed. You see, he knew that both he and Timothy had been trusted by God to receive, to live, and to speak this word. And he wasn't ashamed himself. He doesn't want Timothy to be ashamed. And I would say we should never be ashamed to speak for God. God has trusted us. In the second chapter of this book, just a few verses further down, in verse 2, he said, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, God has entrusted something to us, and we're to pass it on. That's how we can read the Word of God respectfully. And then number 3, read the Word of God respectfully as the basis of faith. Now, I want to just look further into this letter and notice 5 areas where Paul lays it down as to what Christians are to believe. First of all, in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, at verse 8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That is at the heart of what we believe, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the seed of David, a real man who appeared in history, but more than a man, the Son of God. And notice, he was raised from the dead. That proves who he is. And he's the foundation upon which our faith is built. And then second, at verse 10, Paul talks about our salvation. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's pretty fundamental to our faith, isn't it? Our salvation. Salvation from sin. And notice he says that salvation is in Jesus Christ. Emphasis upon the fact that we are to be obedient to the gospel, because when we as believers are baptized, that action puts us in Christ where salvation is. We didn't earn it, but we received it. We accepted it in obedience to the gospel. Number three, he talks about our response, and that also is fundamental to our faith. He says, this is a faithful saying, verse 11. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. We died with him when we died to the love and practice of sin. And then we were buried when we were baptized. And we were raised again to walk in newness of life. He said, we have died with him and we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So he said, don't ever give up, because you will reign with Christ. Number four, down at verse 14, he said, study the word. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying Scripture is basic to our faith. And number five, he said, in effect, be faithful. Down in verse 21, he talked about vessels of honor and dishonor. And he said, you can be a vessel of honor for the Lord. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is, things that dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, just think of those five concepts a moment. And the basis of our faith. Is anything more fundamental than who Jesus is? Is anything more fundamental than our salvation that's in him? And our response to the gospel and our studying of the word and our being faithful to him. We study and read the scripture respectfully. When we study it as sound or healthy words, when we recognize that God is counting on us and he's given us something that we're to guard, he's entrusted us with his word, and it's the basis of our faith. Now, in the third place, coming back over to our text, when Paul placed emphasis upon holding to the pattern of sound words, I would want to include here that we need to read Scripture prayerfully. Because we're not simply reading words, it's God speaking to us. We need understanding, and we need obedience to what God has said. Back in the Old Testament, in the days of Ezra the priest and Nehemiah the governor, the people of God had been taken into Babylon for 70 years of captivity. And God was bringing them home. They were going to rebuild their temple and rebuild their national life and prepare for the coming of Jesus. And these events occurred 400 or 500 years before Jesus came. And in the book of Nehemiah, in the 8th chapter, The people have come back to their homeland. And a great revival took place. And I want to read a few words from the 8th chapter of Ezra. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was found in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses. That was their Bible, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could with understanding, who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. From morning until midday. Before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now, I'm impressed by two things there. One is, he read for half a day, and I don't get any indication anybody's trying to get to the restaurant. And as he read for half a day, they paid attention. They were attentive. And Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and there were several men standing around him. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was above, standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, "Amen, amen," while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And verse 8 says, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. You see, they read, and they explained it, gave the meaning. And the next thing that happened was the people did it. It's essential to reading Scripture that we read with understanding and with application and with the idea we're going to obey. In the 8th chapter of Acts, the Ethiopian nobleman was asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" You need understanding and application so that you can obey. What does this have to do with prayer? Well, in James 1, 1 through 5, James said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given him. Now, he was dealing with a specific problem that his readers faced, but wouldn't this apply to any area where we lack wisdom? And if we lack wisdom in understanding and applying the Word of God to our lives, then let us pray about it. Let's ask God. And God will give that wisdom, James says. Down in verse 22, James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You can't obey if you haven't applied. You can't apply unless you've read. But there must be reading, there must be understanding, there must be application, and then there can be obedience. In reading the word of the Lord, we should read prayerfully. Now, there were two other things that I have on your outline, and I'm going to just mention one of them, and then the other we can talk about in class. The one we can talk about in class is the place of culture. And we should not explain away everything God says by simply telling ourselves, well, that was in their culture. If something is an eternal truth, then we need to listen to it. But I want to emphasize this. When you read Scripture, ask questions. Who said this? Under what circumstances? To whom was it said? It helps us in our understanding. Ask questions like, is this passage of Scripture giving me a fact to be believed, a command to be obeyed, a promise to be enjoyed? Ask questions like, what does this say? And you can answer that question by reading it. What does it mean? That may take a little longer. That may take some additional study. How does it apply? Until we ask the third question, then we haven't finished our Bible study. What does this mean to me, and how can I live it out in my life? The reading of Scripture is basic and fundamental to the Christian faith, and I want to commend the Word of God to each of us for careful reading and understanding and application. Because the revelation of God is the word of eternal life. And we can respond to it, and we can become and be, by the grace of God, what He wants us to be. And this morning, you may be here and you're on the outside looking in. Maybe you haven't yet become a disciple of Jesus and a Christian through obedience to the gospel. Or it may be that you have done all of that and you've made a beginning, but somehow you're away from Him. And you need to come back. And you need to hear His word and seek to understand it and apply it and obey it. If we could help you in your journey with God, we'd certainly like to encourage you to respond to the invitation of Christ today. Let's stand and be singing.